Ananias Prabhu on the 14th of May on Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text 43.
Translation of Prabhupada by Divine Grace on Vishnu Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Hasta Sarasvata Sri Srimana Vaisharanandana Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namini. Sri Prabhupada Ki. The yogis, equipped with transcendental knowledge and renunciation, and engaged in devotional service for their eternal benefit, take shelter of my lotus feet. And since I am the Lord, they are thus eligible to enter into the kingdom of Godhead without fear. Please repeat. The yogis, equipped with transcendental knowledge, and renunciation, and engaged in devotional service, for their eternal benefit, take shelter of my lotus feet. And since I am the Lord, they are thus eligible to enter into the kingdom of God without fear. Purport. One who actually wants to be liberated from the entanglement of this material world and go back home, back to Godhead, is actually a mystic yogi. The word explicitly used here are jyotsina bhakti yogina. Those yogis or mystics who engage in devotional service are the first class yogis. The first class yogis are described in the Bhagavad Gita as those who are constantly thinking of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. These yogis are not without knowledge and renunciation. To become a bhakti yogi means to automatically attain knowledge and renunciation. That is a consequent result of bhakti yoga. In the Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, it is also confirmed that one who engages in the devotional service of Vasudeva Krishna has complete transcendental knowledge and renunciation. And there is no explanation for these attainments. Ahaituki, without reason, they come. Even if a person is completely illiterate, the transcendental knowledge of the scriptures is revealed to him simply because of his engagement in devotional service. That is also stated in the Vedic literature. To anyone who has full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the spiritual master, all the import of the Vedic literatures is revealed. He does not have to seek separately. The yogis who engage in devotional service are full in knowledge and renunciation. If there is a lack of knowledge and renunciation, it is to be understood that one is not in full devotional service. The conclusion is that one cannot be sure of entrance into the spiritual realm in either the impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence of the Lord or the Vaikuntha planets within that Brahman effulgence unless he is surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. These surrendered souls are called Akuto Bhaya. They are doubtless and fearless, and their entrance into the spiritual kingdom is guaranteed. Om Agyan Chimaranda Shri Chimaranda Shavati Vatakshurim Nintanti Krishna Shri Guru Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karata Shri Vashri Kaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. So here Kapila Muni is describing the science of the glories of devotional service to his mother, Devavati. And talking about how the yogis are equipped with transcendental knowledge and renunciation and engaged in devotional service for their eternal benefits. They take shelter at my lotus feet, and since I am the Lord, they are thus eligible to enter into the kingdom of God without fear. So we often hear about a person has to have complete knowledge of Krishna, he has to have complete detachment from this material world, and then he can enter into the kingdom of God. So here it is pointing, Kapila is pointing out that simply by this process of surrendering to Krishna, by the process of bhakti, immediate engagement in devotional service to Krishna, one automatically gets knowledge and renunciation. That's a side product of devotional service to Krishna. It comes automatically. Prabhupada says, quoting the second chapter, first canto, second chapter, it's also confirmed that one who engages in devotional service of Vasudeva, Krishna, has complete transcendental knowledge of renunciation. And there is no explanation for these attainments. Ahotuki, it is simply without reason. It's without cause. They come automatically. So, but then we find in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam that knowledge is so important. Krishna is stressing again and again and again in Bhagavad Gita how we have to have transcendental knowledge, how we have to rise above the modes of material nature, how we have to become free, detached from all the material world, etc. Again and again it's being stressed. But here he's saying that simply by that devotional service, then knowledge and renunciation will come automatically. So a symptom of perfect knowledge is that a person is always remembering Krishna. That is a symptom of perfect knowledge. An example are the Vrajavasis, the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They're constantly absorbed in remembering Krishna. They don't know Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't know he's the Supreme Absolute Truth. They think he's a village boy. But they just simply serve Krishna. They're constantly remembering Krishna. Their emotional state of existence is that they're just remembering Krishna. They just can't take their consciousness away from Krishna. So this is a symptom of perfect knowledge, because they're remembering Krishna. Although they don't know he's the Supreme Personality of God, they're not yogis, they're not gyanis, they're only simple village cowherd people looking after cows. But they have perfect knowledge. When you know Krishna, you know everything, because Krishna is the source of all knowledge. When Akrura saw Krishna and Balaram in the taking the bath in the Jamuna, and then they became Ananta and Vasudev, Balaram became Anantadev and Krishna became Vasudev. And the story in the Krishna book, and the Guru was offering his prayers, so then he came back to the chariot and saw Krishna and Balaram was still on the chariot. And Krishna said, "Oh, my dear Akuru, have you seen something wonderful in the water or in the land?" And Akuru said, "My dear Lord, when I've seen you, what wonderful thing have I not seen?" Because when you see the source of everything, that's what remains to be known. Krishna says, "Arjuna, just know everything that existing is simply a spark of my splendor. That's all." So if you know Krishna, what to speak of a spark? So the gyanis and the yogis, they spend whole life trying to understand a little bit about the spark. But the bhakti yogis, they simply remember Krishna, the source of millions and millions of sparks or universes. That's it. They're one breath for Krishna, millions and millions of universes. That is insignificant for him. So one who remembers that Supreme Lord, it's understood that he automatically gets perfect knowledge and renunciation. And so automatically he becomes fearless. Why? Because he's completely depending on Krishna. Just like the cowboys, there's a big fire in Vrindavan. Cowboys, Krishna, Krishna, please save us, Krishna, please save us. It seems like they're scared. It's a fearful situation. So why are they surrendered souls to Krishna, they're completely absorbed in Krishna. Nobody mentions a sentence without the name of Krishna. So everything is so Krishna conscious, but then fire is coming, they're saying, Krishna, Krishna, please save us. Why do they have fear? No, they're fearing because if we die, and we're your friends, Krishna, you get pleasure from playing with us. If we die, then we won't get that pleasure. So therefore, please save us, because your pleasure will be interfered with if we die. So this is why they're praying for Krishna, for protection. Simply thinking of Krishna's pleasure. So this is the exalted state of Krishna consciousness. So the topmost jnanis, they can hardly meditate on Brahman for a moment. The effulgent light of Brahman is very difficult to behold, it's very bright. But even the very mature, advanced yogi, he can hardly hold that picture, that flashing effulgence of the Lord for a few moments in his mind. That's his perfection, to be absorbed in that. But he has, for a flickering moment, he can get, for one little moment, he has that little flickering as Brahman effulgence of Krishna. But the devotees of Krishna, they can't even tolerate one moment's consciousness away from Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says it's like 12 years or more. This one moment separation from the thought of Krishna is intolerable. That's separation. One moment separation without Krishna. And the topmost jnanis, they're happy. They see of one little moment of flickering light. And they're happy with that. But the devotees, they're not happy with one moment separation from Krishna. So everything is given to the devotees of Krishna. So they don't have to endeavor separately for. Here Prabhupada quotes a very famous verse from the Hari Bhakti Vilas in Vedic literature, probably the Padma Purana, that anyone who has full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the spiritual master, to that person all the import of the Vedic literature is revealed. So simply by their implicit faith in Krishna and the spiritual master, the whole of the Vedic literature is revealed. It's like the Brahmana in South India, was it actually literate? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, said, actually you know the Gita. You know the essence of the Gita. He was crying because his Guru Maharaj told him to read Bhagavad Gita every day, but he was illiterate, he couldn't read. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, I understand you're crying, but you are illiterate, but why are you crying? When you're reading Bhagavad Gita, if you're illiterate, you can't read it, so why are you crying? He said, no, it's not the words, I can't read it, but when I see the picture of Arjuna. And Krishna is actually acting as his chariot driver. Arjuna is saying, take me here, take me there. Yes, yes, Arjuna. He's acting as a servant of his devotee. When I see this picture, it makes me cry. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, yes. He said, you have understood Bhagavad Gita. So he was an illiterate, but he knew the essence, which was Krishna. Manmana bhavama bhakto. That devotees were always engaged their minds and everything in Krishna's service. They are considered to be the topmost yogis. So, otherwise, it says these devotees are called Akuto Bhaya. They are doubtless and fearless, and their entrance into the spiritual kingdom is guaranteed. So if we're not completely dependent on Krishna, there will always be doubts and fear. What do we doubt? If we become attracted to material nature, what is that? Is that actually doubting Krishna? We think somehow or another we can get some pleasure in the material world, we can make some advancement materially, get some... That means we're doubting Krishna. We should be completely dependent on Krishna, but we start to depend on our own abilities. And therefore that's doubting. If we depend on our own abilities, that's actually doubt. Nityananda Prabhu, in the Navadvipa Mahatma, he says that Bhaknar Thakur says, quoting Nityananda Prabhu, what is the symptom of an unfortunate person? The unfortunate person means Gauranga has come to give the holy name, he's come to give Bhajapram freely. And the person doesn't take it, he's unfortunate. What is the symptom of his misfortune? He said he's overly dependent on his own abilities to make achievements in life. He's proud of his own ability to make some advancement. That is his misfortune. Because he's dependent on his own abilities, where he should be completely dependent on Krishna. Mahaprabhu has come to give freely and we reject him. Let me do it my way. I'll do it my way. So this is a symptom of an unfortunate person when we become proud of our own abilities. So then that causes a doubt. That means we doubt Krishna because I have a lot of faith in my own ability. So I become prominent, my program becomes prominent, my activities. And when that attitude is there, then what is the next thing? I'm doing the work, it was my, then I should enjoy the result. After all, I did it. As you reap, you will sow. So I did the work, so I should get the result. So then one identifies himself as a doer also. So in this way, we become more and more complicated in this material world. But the surrendering process is very, very easy. Otherwise, it's very, very difficult. And very, very difficult to overcome this material energy. Devi Yeshi Gunamai Mama Maya Duratiya. It's very, very difficult to overcome this. Krishna is teaching so much yoga in the Bhagavad Gita, but he's admitting it's not easy, Arjuna. It's very difficult. Even you are a yogi, even you are practicing, it's still very, very difficult. Actually, more difficult for the yogis and the gyanis who are practicing knowledge and renunciation, because they can see clearly things as they are. They know what they should be doing. The problem is they don't know. So ignorance is bliss, they say. So the karmis are okay, they're quite happy in ignorance. But the gyanis and yogis, they're not in ignorance. They know what is the goal of life. So they're experiencing trouble. We've got to overcome these difficulties of life. So they're the ones who are struggling to overcome it. This is not easy. It's very, very difficult. I was talking to my good brother a few days ago, and he was saying, this whole conception of enjoyment in the material world, this is what it's all about. The material world is for the living entity's enjoyment. Now in Krishna consciousness, you've got to give up this conception of being an enjoyer. It's a big thing, because this is our main consciousness for billions and billions and billions of universal births. This is why we're here. Our consciousness is that we want to be the enjoyer, the Lord, the controller and the enjoyer. So this is the attitude. So we have to give up this enjoying spirit. So see, that conception of never enjoying again, making my own program for enjoying my senses, etc. To give up the conception, he said, it's such a big thing. And it is. It's actually impossible. As long as you've got a material body, because you've got so many demands, it's actually impossible to conquer over it, to give up this conception. But we're advised to give up the conception. And what are we advised? With so much knowledge, so much pronunciation. Yukta Vairagya, again and again, is being stressed side by side with Bhakti Yoga. We have Panchvatika Vidhi and we have the Bhagavad Vidhi. Prabhupada said, like two tracks of a train running together. The train runs on two tracks, so it keeps on course. So Bhagavad Vidhi and Panchvatika Vidhi. Krishna's recommending Bhagavad Vidhi, so we can't do that. So he says, okay then, Panchvatika Vidhi. Next best. So we're trying to do that. We can't completely surrender to Krishna. So, okay, we follow the rules and regulations, the do's and the do nots. Or never forget Krishna. Always remember Krishna means Bhagavad Vidhi. You're always absorbing Krishna. Never forgetting Krishna means I can't remember Krishna, therefore I'm doing activities so I can remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Therefore I do my sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is regulation. Why? What is the purpose so I can remember Krishna? So this means never forgetting Krishna. One who can remember Krishna easily, he remembers Krishna. That is Bhagavad Gita. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So never forget Krishna, that's for the persons who are practicing the Panchvatika Vidhi. And always remembering Krishna is for persons who are in the Bhagavad Gita. So we're doing both. We're trying to balance both because we're in the material world, we have desires, we have lack of knowledge, we're not renounced. So we are practicing this path of sadhana bhakti side by side with bhakti, like the two tracks of a train. So then it is so difficult to cross over this ocean of material existence. And when we understand our situation, it's actually very, very fearful. Again and again, this is being stressed in these purports here and verses. The fearful situation of this material world. The God is not a fool. Prabhupada said, this is a very, very fearful situation. Again and again, he was stressed. Very seriously. We're in a very fearful situation in this material world. Everything is misidentifying to this body. And when you leave, you don't know which next body you're going to take again. And all those different species of life. Very, very fearful situation. The jiva is completely lost in this material world. So, therefore, it's recommended. Get knowledge and renunciation. Practice Yukta Vairagya. But then ultimately, we're finding that Yukta Vairagya are not the goal. Its goal is actually bhakti. But because we have forgotten that spontaneous attraction for Krishna, then we're obligated and obliged to follow the rules and regulations of sadhana and practice Yukta Vairagya. So, and when you meditate on it, even that is impossible to do. To have perfect knowledge and to become completely detached from this material practice is impossible. So Bhakti Yoga is the positive alternative. And this is just complete surrender to Krishna and complete dependence on Krishna. And what about that bhaya that I don't have proper knowledge, I don't have proper detachment? Krishna says, Master, you don't worry about that. I'll take care of it. You try to cross over the material ocean by yourself, it's difficult. But Krishna says, you just simply surrender to me. You don't worry about that. I'll take care of it. Otherwise, you're going to spend your whole life, I mean, thousands and thousands of lives trying to cross over that ocean. And when you're getting close to it, you're going to come to the point of Vasudeva Sarvamiti, oh, Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead, I better surrender to him. That'll take you thousands and thousands of them. Already you're here at this point. That's where I understood you've already spent thousands and thousands of births as a jnani in search of knowledge. You've come to this point of taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Still is difficult. This is after thousands of births of being a jnani. We've had a lot of knowledge. Now we've taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Still we find it difficult. So Krishna said, no. Whatever you find difficult, it's not difficult to remember me and serve me. Everything else is difficult. So you give up everything else and you just remember and serve me. Become my devotee. Always think of me, of your homage unto me, of your faces. Offer me some food. And you come to me, Krishna says, I promise. So this is the glory of the process of bhakti yoga, and the glory of complete surrender, as Kapila Muni is bringing out here. It saves you so much trouble. So then we're going to get the question. You know, I'm a house owner. I got 10 kids. I got to perform all these samskaras. I got to feed my family. I got to educate my family. I got to find them clothing. I got to get them medicine. I got to go out and work to get some money to do all this. You know, I'm obliged. You know, saying give up karma, give up gyan. You know, how can I do that? I'm obligated to follow all these different rituals. I'm obligated to follow all the samskaras. It's an obligation I've got because I'm in this material world and I have so many desires. So, what about that person? Krishna says, even that person. He said, all of my devotees, if he's a devotee of Krishna, if you surrender your life to Krishna, all of my devotees, although engaged in all kinds of activities. I mean, some are doing work. They have to go out and earn money. They're engaged in all kinds of activities. They all come to me. So Arjuna says, I can't understand that. Your Gyani, he's practicing knowledge, he's a renunciation throughout his whole life. He's very, very learned. He gives up the process of, he becomes detached from the material world. He works without fruit of attachment. He gets knowledge. He renounces work completely, sannyas. He even renounces knowledge. He's very advanced. But I can't do that. I got to look after my family. I got to do so many things. I can understand how the Gyani is doing it after so much trouble. So how can you say, Krishna, all of my devotees do it? They all come to me, to my supreme abode. The Gyani, he may seem qualified. He spent a lot of effort to do that. Become free from all the attachments, etc. To that point of giving up knowledge, even giving up the process of knowledge and taking shelter of Krishna. Because knowledge is coming from the three modes of material nature. So we have to give up even knowledge. But bhakti produces its own knowledge. There's two types of knowledge, one coming from the modes of material nature, one coming from bhakti. So that Jnani gives up his knowledge, or the pursuit of knowledge, or the path of thinking by my knowledge, etc., I can attain Krishna. He has to give up that also. He so gives up his knowledge. He depends completely on Krishna. Then bhakti gives him knowledge. But knowledge of bhakti, knowledge of how to render devotional service. Anyway, he's qualified. So how can you say all of my devotees, they come to you, Krishna? Because sometimes they're not qualified. They're staying with their families, they're doing so much, they have to do the kamakanda activities because they're in the material world, they're obligated. How can they all come back to you, Krishna? This is Arjuna's doubt. And Krishna says, they come back by my mercy. That's all. Because I said they can come back, they'll come back because they're my devotees. They're my devotees. Secondly, they do everything else. They look after their families. It takes practically their whole day. Working, running hard, looking after. But firstly, that's all secondary for them. Firstly, they're my devotees. He comes back to me, so he's my devotee. The Jnani, Vrinav, Sannyasi, he's my devotee, he comes to me. They both come back to me. Why? Because first they understand their surrender to Krishna, they're Krishna's servants. And that's what Krishna's saying. Everything else is secondary. So Krishna says, for them, they all come back to me by my grace. They go back to Godhead. So Krishna says, you should come back. You should be fearless and go back. Their entrance into the spiritual kingdom is guaranteed. So So we should have that fearlessness. So, but my very nature, Jiva's Rupa Nitya Krishna Das, I am the eternal servant of Krishna. There's nothing else I can do about it. I can identify myself, and I have identified myself with billions and billions of forms since time eternal. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. If we can a person situates himself in that knowledge and says, Krishna, you are my Lord and I am your servant, I am coming to you. Everything else I have to do is simply a reaction of my previous karmas. It's just coming and it's going. And I'm being moved around by it. But my consciousness is not moved that I'm your eternal servant, Krishna. And the Lord Brahma says, Bhaya Mukti Bhakti. He goes back to Godhead. That's his right to claim. That's all he knew. That Krishna, you're my eternal master and I'm your eternal servant. And everything else that I'm forced to do in this material world is secondary. But it never deviates me from thinking my consciousness fixed that I'm your eternal servant and you're my eternal master. That person goes back to Godhead without fail, it says. Lord Brahma, Katina Pamkambas. So the same thing Krishna is saying here, that if you surrender to me, you don't have to fear about your previous activities, about performing knowledge, about performing karma, looking after, maintenance, family, etc. like that. Krishna says, I'll take care of that. I'll carry what they like. It doesn't become a problem. Your attention is on your service to Krishna. And Krishna takes care of everything else. Otherwise you can put your attention on your problems, your family problems and your difficulties. And you can stay on that problem. But Krishna's promise, if you put your conscience on me, I'll take care of those problems. They'll go by very easily. You don't have to endeavor so much for them. I'll make so many arrangements that if first you fix your conscience on me. So the idea is, it's a devotee like that, or in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's saying you're doing a karma yoga, so you dovetail it. You bring bhakti into your karma. You dovetail your work into Krishna's. But it's not like that, that you're bringing bhakti into your karma, but you bring karma into your bhakti. First you're a bhakta, then you bring your karma comes into your bhakti. It's the other way around. It's not dovetailing. I'm identifying it, I've got so many things to do, so I'll dovetail Krishna into Krishna consciousness. No, the first consciousness is, I'm Krishna's servant. And all my karma is secondary. So I'm dovetailing my karma into my bhakti. So bhakti becomes a prominent thing. So one identifies himself as eternal servant of Krishna and as that consciousness. And then everything else will... Krishna said, I'll take care. Ma sujaha, you don't have to worry, Krishna says. You don't have to worry, I'll take care of everything. So here is a simple process of devotional service. You can learn this. Put this out already. I think so. Okay, Shrima Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai, Vipalaka Shingadeya Pranamada Pantatata Shubhata Shanarthi ki jai. It's supposed to go to 7, is it?
We have to complain.